The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments today in an important case testing the limits of the First Amendment. A federal law makes it a crime to encourage or induce illegal immigration. But there's a question whether that encouragement actually amounts to protected free speech. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Look at the Supreme Court's history, and you will see a lot of cases in which odious defendants bring tough First Amendment questions to the court. Today's case was one of those. The defendant is Helaman Hansen, who conned 471 non-citizens into believing they could obtain U.S. citizenship through adult adoption. By enrolling these non-citizens in this non-existent program, Hansen defrauded these people of more than $1.8 million. In 2017, a jury convicted him on 15 counts of mail and wire fraud, for which he was sentenced to 20 years in prison. But it also found him guilty of 2 counts of encouraging or inducing these non-citizens to remain in the United States. And it is those 2 counts that were the focus of today's argument. The issue before the court is whether a federal law making it a crime to induce unlawful immigration sweeps up a substantial amount of speech that's protected by the First Amendment. Defending the conviction, Deputy Solicitor General Brian Fletcher argued that if the statute is construed narrowly, it is constitutional.
The First Amendment does not protect speech that is intended to induce or commence specific illegal activities.
The justices had a lot of questions. Here, for instance, is Justice Kavanaugh.
What do you say to the charitable organizations that say even under your narrowing construction, there's still going to be a chill or a threat of prosecution for them for providing food and shelter and aid?
Justice Sotomayor followed up.
We do know that Customs Department made a list of all of the people, religious entities, the lawyers, and others who were providing services to immigrants at the border, and was saying that they intended to rely on this statute to prosecute them.
Justice Kagan had more questions.
What happens to all the cases where it could be a lawyer, it could be a doctor, it could be a neighbor, it could be a friend, it could be a teacher, it could be anybody, says to a non-citizen, I really think you should stay?
Fletcher acknowledged that when family members urge someone to stay, that is the hardest case. He said there's no way to deal with all the variables that could come up, prompting this from Justice Sotomayor.
So why should we uphold a statute that criminalizes words? That's what we're doing with this statute. It's a first of a kind.
ACLU lawyer Esha Bhandari picked up that thread, arguing on behalf of the defendant. Unless the court clips the wings of this statute, she said,
Congress and the states will be free, without any First Amendment scrutiny, to criminalize speech soliciting violations of the vast range of administrative and regulatory laws that govern us today, from mask and vaccine mandates to parking ordinances.
But she, too, faced some tough hypotheticals, like this one from Justice Alito. What about someone who encourages a person who's intellectually disabled to commit suicide? Bhandari replied that the government has an interest in protecting the vulnerable, and if a statute were narrowly drawn, it could survive. Justice Gorsuch asked how her client's rights are being violated, because under just about any standard of intent, he would be convicted. Bhandari acknowledged that her client had defrauded many people and will go to jail for 20 years, but she said the challenge here is to the statute as a whole and how it could inhibit speech about almost anything. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
U.S. sales of heat pumps overtook sales of gas furnaces last year, but what exactly is a heat pump, and why do some call it a key climate solution? Julia Simon of NPR's Climate Desk has this report.
In a backyard near Oakland, in between the wind whistling through bamboo and the meowing of a cat, there's another small sound. The very low whir of a heat pump. Owner James Tucker got it installed last year.
It goes to a fan box in the attic that blows the cool and the heat into the house.
That's right. Heat pumps can also cool your home.
A lot of people dislike the name heat pump, right? Some people want to call them heating cool pumps or something like that. But I think we're kind of stuck with the name.
Kevin Kirscher is a professor of engineering at Purdue University. He says you can think of a heat pump as an air conditioner that can also work backwards, using electricity to move heat into your home. Now, there's a new incentive for Americans to get heat pumps from last year's federal climate legislation. An IRS spokesperson told told NPR that there are now credits that can translate to up to $2,000 for heat pumps. Kevin Haley, coordinator at a heat pump installer in Lincoln, Nebraska, says the new rebates are now cutting the payback time.
The rebates are such that it makes a heat pump really worth considering for all homeowners.
The Biden administration and governments around the world see heat pumps as a key climate solution. They can replace gas furnaces in homes, and they run on electricity that's increasingly powered by renewables. Yannick Monschauer of the International Energy Agency in Paris says if governments like the U.S. and the EU meet their national climate and energy targets,
we see that heat pumps could bring down global CO2 emissions by half a gigaton by the end of this decade.
That's a lot of emissions.
So that is comparable to the annual emissions of Canada.
While in the past, heat pumps didn't work well in cold climates, Monschauer says there's been a lot of improvement.
In fact, in the coldest parts of Europe, we also have the highest shares of heat pumps. So in Norway, for example, 60% of the households are equipped with heat pumps. So it's definitely proven that it's possible.
In the U.S., about 14% of homes have heat pumps. Heating technicians say this year, demand is growing. Julia Simon, NPR News.